call the meeting to order of the PNB teleconference. Before we get started, Bob has asked me to allow him just a couple of minutes to pay tribute to someone. Bob?
Thanks, Ambrose. Yes, for those who haven't heard yet, we just want to share the very sad news that last week WBAI lost one of its most beloved staff members, Fred Kuhn, known on the air as Fred Theobald. Lost his long struggle with cancer.
Oh, no.
And he had been with the station for 26 years, both as the receptionist, so the first voice that people heard when they called in, and first person who greeted visitors, but also as an arts producer who had done really wonderful work of a very eclectic nature. He loved all kinds of music and gave a platform to lots of previously unknown musicians, particularly folk musicians and bluegrass and many other genres of music, as well as he had a special love of professional wrestling, and many wrestlers came on the show, and lots of other topics. He was a person with very diverse interests and great sense of humor and a great warmth and love of all people on the staff, regardless of whatever differences were going on at any moment. So we're all just tremendously feeling his loss, and we just want to tell you all that he kind of represented the best of the Pacifica tradition, and we'll always remember him.
Thank you so much. We now have the quorum. Let's make sure we do it officially. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, we're going to. You want me to read it off again?
Yeah, quickly.
William Walker, Sarv Randhawa.
Here.
Fadi Saba.
Here.
LaVorn Williams.
Here.
Maria Armudian. David Adelson.
Here.
Julie Chavez Rodriguez.
Here.
Donna Warren. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Patty Hepley. Ray LaForest. Michael Tarif Warren.
Here.
Joe Montez. And Ngozi Kamau.
Here.
Mark Martin, Wendy Schroll,
here.
Ambrose Lane,
here.
Rob Robinson, here. Mark Roberts,
here.
Zarina Shakir, Marty Derlin,
here.
And Steve Pierce,
here.
Okay, we now have 14 members present, Mr. Chair. We have a quorum.
Excellent.
Hello, sorry, Ray LaForest.
Hey, Ray. Hey. Good.
Hello,
good.
Everybody.
Excellent. Let's adopt the agenda. Can I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, is there a second?
This is Sarv.
Yes.
We have a very, very important agenda here, but I think we also should limit each item as to the duration.
Absolutely. I'd like to do that as soon as we adopt it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Ambrose, I think it would be appropriate for you to read the agenda.
Well okay. Number one, Governance Committee Report. Number two, Citizens Bill of Rights. Number three, CPB Strategy for a Pacific Contingency Budget. And four, Report of the Executive Search Committee.
I move that we adopt the agenda.
I second the motion.
Are there any objections?
I have questions. How much time are we allotting to each? And
we're going
to
take that in a second.
And will the ED be the ED Search Committee report be an executive session or public session?
Let's take that second. Let's adopt it first. If there are no objections, you adopt it. Now let's go to the time.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Excuse me, this is Ngozi. I wonder if I could please ask to have Mike Martin's absence excused before we move to that.
Absolutely. Is there a second to that?
Second.
All right. Any objections? Hearing none, it's approved.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to spend most of our time, it would seem, on the report of the Executive Search Committee. So I'd like to spend as little time as possible on the other items. Now, I'm going to be something crazy, but I'm going to suggest 20 minutes for each one of the first three.
I will second that.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Dave, if I'm taking notes, I need to hear who seconds things, and I'd like to ask who, and if I could get time to copy them down before
sure.
we move. Who seconded the motion by
Dave?
The absence of Mike Martin?
Oh, I said
Sarve did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any objection?
And now this is 20 minutes each moved by
for the
Lenny.
First three. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 20 minutes. Okay. Motion 20 minutes each item.
First three items.
First three items. And that is moved by whom?
Suggested by the chair.
Chair.
By chair. And seconded by Rondella.
Point of order, Ambrose?
Yes.
Robert's rule says that the name of the person seconding does not have to go in the minutes, just the mm-hmm. fact that it was.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
But Dave is very meticulous. Are there any objections to that?
No.
Good. Hearing none, let's go to number four, and I'm suggesting 90 minutes. That's 30 minutes for each one of the three items that Mark said that this is going to be broken down. Let me give you the breakdown. One, presenting finalist candidates for the IED position. Two, discussion of the salary range info for the ED. Three, discussion on the outgoing ED transition plan. And he suggested each segment should take about 30 minutes. So we're allocating a total of 90 minutes for that report.
Well, Ambrose?
Yes.
This is Mark. One thing, since I sent that to you and I sent a package out to everyone today on the update, we did include, and I don't know if you want to discuss it or not, we did include suggested action items and criteria for the selection process. You want to just roll that into the candidates section?
Yeah.
When did you send that?
It was sent today at 9:29 a.m. It's called Executive Search Committee Update.
I didn't receive it. Anyway, that's okay.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is that on the executive session part, we did want to discuss the candidates section in the executive session. And I don't know, which order was that when you listed? Was that first section?
First one, yeah.
So
the first one?
Can
you
we
want
move
to reverse
that to,
it?
Can we move that to?
Last?
The last.
And I think the part about the severance, the outgoing, that's also, I had said executive session. So could we do the first portion, which would be...
That is discussing the salary range.
Right, the salary range, and then move into
executive
session.
And then go into executive session.
Yes.
Are there any problems with that?
I don't have that. The original... I'm sorry, can you just repeat what's being proposed?
Yeah, let me tell you. He suggested that this report should be broken down into three components. One suggestion, presenting finalist candidates for the IED position. Two was discussion of the salary range info for the ED. And three, discussion on the outgoing ED transition plan. And what he's suggesting now is that we reverse the order and begin with the discussion of the salary range information for the ED, then go into executive session to deal with the other two items. Got that, Dave?
Got it.
Okay.
And you're proposing 30 minutes for each item.
That's correct. With the power of the group to extend the time if necessary. So we're giving 90 minutes to this item.
I'm sorry, the outgoing ED transition plan is the last item or the next to last item?
The presenting the finalist candidates for IED position is the second item or the first item on the executive session.
Okay.
And discussion of the transition plan
is
the second item on the executive session. Are there any objections to that?
Point of information. Is that right,
yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Hearing no objection?
I just have a question. I would like to bring a motion as to the participation of the board in the interview process. Would that come under presenting finalists, or do I need to make a request for a separate agenda item?
That would come under that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Dorina's on the line.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I've been on for a while.
Okay. Hearing no objection, we've just adopted the agenda with the time allotment. So let's go first to the Governance Committee report.
Could I announce President
yes.
Marie is here.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm the chair of the Governance Committee. We considered the question of that the PNB had referred to us on the motion to rescind the suspension of Paul DiRienzo, and we generated, after much discussion, a majority report and a minority report. The majority voted not to support the motion to rescind, and I'd like it if Bob and Marty, who were the authors of the respective reports, could present those quickly.
Bob?
Okay.
He sent a written report. Has everybody read it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Marty has sent her a written report. Has everybody read that?
Yes.
All right. Bob, don't do the whole thing.
Okay. Okay. So the committee majority fundamentally believes that, on the one hand, this whole situation has shown that the PNB needs to work towards clear policies and rules in the future for disciplinary actions in the case of misconduct by board members, but disciplinary actions that and procedures that protect the rights of everyone, including minorities in terms of viewpoint minorities. And on the other hand, that it would be unwarranted for the PNB to overturn an LSB's action that was taken in good faith, applying the rules that were in effect at the time under the bylaws and then under rules which the bylaws do require each LSB to follow where they don't conflict with those bylaws. So fundamentally, this is a question of upholding the authorities of local boards, which have been long fought through recent years and through the lawsuits and ultimately guaranteed by the current bylaws. So a couple of quick points about the situation as it happened in New York. The process of engaging in discipline followed a series, not one, but a long series of really egregious acts of misconduct that include discriminatory and abusive conduct based on race, gender, and religion. And which attack the rights of other LSB members and members of the public to free expression without intimidation. The LSB chair made numerous warnings and urgings of this member to cease his conduct, which were rejected. And then at the end of the third meeting at which misconduct occurred, the chair decided that this really needed to be addressed by the board. And there is no requirement in Robert's rules for any advance notice when disciplinary action for conduct in a public meeting is being contemplated or is about to happen. Nor is there a requirement for a lesser penalty to be applied before a greater one. That's just nowhere within the pages of Robert's Rules. Instead, what Robert's Rules offers is the options, several options. And just one quick quote, in the cases of obstinate or grave breach of order, by a member, unquote. The options range from censure to requiring an apology to suspension, quote, for a time, unquote, and then ultimately expulsion, which is the one that requires a two-thirds vote. And so that's really what the WBAI-LSB did, was it exercised a couple of those options that were available to it following the procedures. And then finally, in terms of some people had questioned the publishing of the motion that got passed for the suspension on a more speeded up basis before the normal course of minutes being adopted or being voted for. And that was simply as a matter of transparency and public information, since the minutes were going to be published sooner or later anyway, but this is a matter of great public interest and importance, and it was an effort to get that out quicker. So those are the basic points.
Okay, Marty?
This is Patty. I'd like to be on the stack. Patty Heffley?
Sure.
Okay. The minority report of the Governance Committee There were 3 points, essentially. The first, that no one supported the actions of Mr. DiRienzo. Just want to make that clear. The concerns were based on due process and fairness towards him. And because there are omissions and conflicts between our bylaws and Robert's rules, there's an extensive explanation in the minority report of why some people felt the rules such as we have them were not followed. And the ability to suspend by the WBAI-LSB, according to Robert's rules, quote, for a time, was felt that 6 months was a long period to be for a suspension. So those are the points in a nutshell.
Okay, Patty?
Patty here? Hello?
Yes, Patty.
Okay, so I can speak now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I just want to say that, first of all, is there a motion on the floor?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, okay. Well, I'd like to... Pardon? I'd like to make a motion.
Patty has the floor right now.
Right, okay. I'd like to make a motion and then speak to it, please.
Yes.
My motion is to... I guess there must be a two-part thing. My motion, first of all, I'd like this code of conduct thing to go first because I think we need to develop a code of conduct and then decide some things. But since that's not the way it's going, I'm just going to make a motion. I'd like to make a motion that the PNB moves that the LSB reinstate Paul DiRienzo at the next meeting.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Hello?
I second the motion.
And that is?
That's Wendy.
Wendy. Moved and seconded that Paul DiRienzo be reinstated by the WBAI at the next meeting. What is your pleasure?
I'd like to be on the stack, Ambrose, Wendy.
Okay, now I'd like to speak to it. First of all, I would like the board to understand this is a political move. This is nothing but a political action to take out somebody that that the majority of the board does not agree with, that was part of the what you want to call the Christmas coup. And this is the issue. Last year there was much violence in our board, and there was not one person, Mr. Lederer or nor the rest of them, ever asked to censure or to suspend one of their own people that actually physically touched people. Okay, so we're talking about some verbal abuse here, which I don't condone in any way. All right, well, let's just be clear about that. But this is a political action. First of all, let me just say why he should be reinstated. He represents a constituency of people that voted for him. He was like the second or third top vote getter in the 2004 election. He deserves to be there because it is a constituency. It builds a hideous precedent to be suspending people by a simple majority vote. Hell with the Roberts rules and all of it. We know this is a removal, okay? Since he has attended every meeting, since his banning and suspension, he has not been disruptive in any way. One time during public comment, he spoke longer than 3 minutes. He has issued a written apology. There was no warnings of any kind that said, Mr. DiRienzo, if you don't stop, you're going to be suspended. This is all a political battle that the Justice and Unity group and the board majority has made a giant hay out of, making cable TV programs about it, showing videos of myself and DiRienzo and anybody possible to show the horrendous behavior of this board. It's pure political, and I beg this board to understand that and to not remove people's rights to a representation through elections. We cannot take people out for 6 months by a majority vote. This is completely improper. And if you vote to reinstate him, does not mean you're voting to accept what he did. You're voting that people have a right to a constituency. And I personally, if he behaves improperly, but the next meeting, I will also join in a two-thirds to have him removed. But this is improper to take him out like this. I am begging this board to understand this is a political move. The reason why even this is even on here and why this is at the PNB is because it's so egregious that there's a majority that could even exercise its rights, fake rights like this. I am begging people to understand that this is a political move by a group of people, and
okay.
I am next.
Wait.
I could
All
be
right.
next.
Move the meeting on.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next on the list is Wendy.
Put Ray, please.
Yeah, I got you, Ray.
This is LaVarne. Ambrose, could you put me down also?
This is Michael Trefoy. I'd like to be on the stack.
This is Donna. I'm joining in for a little while anyhow.
Okay.
I've got
so
Wendy,
now
Ray, LaVarne. Is that
stack.
Somebody else?
No.
Michael Trefoy. I said I'd like to be on the stack, Ambrose. Please.
Michael.
Please.
Okay.
Okay, this is Wendy. And
this is going to end it. Yeah.
I just want to, I sent this out to the PNB this morning. It's just that this board is always subject to solving the problems of WBAI, and I got to point out, like I did, that, you know, last year we were lobbied extensively to go against everything the WBAI majority LSB did. This year, you know, they've got all these calls of action going right to PNB. I mean, this is just one guy. The point has been made. I agree with Patty that there should have been at least some kind of, hey, you do that again, we're going to vote you, we're going to suspend you or vote you off the board or something. He's missed or been off the board for 3 or 4 meetings now. I think that the time served would be the prudent way to go. And just reinstate the guy. If he screws up again, then yeah, I too will join in everybody trying to get rid of him. But I also want to say that it really seems that by the way this whole thing has gone, I mean, how much time have we spent in these national meetings discussing this issue? It's like, you know, the majority at the BAI LSB earned some political capital in this last election, and they intend to spend it. And so I really just feel like that this is enough on this. And as I also said, you know, right now I've seen it in 2 other boards that people are just getting, you know, we got the majority, we're going to vote off who we don't like. So I really implore the board. I think that enough punishment has happened. Just get past this and work on the code of conduct so this doesn't happen anymore. Thank you.
Thank you. Ray?
Yes, thank you. Well, I'd like to say that in response to some of what I heard is that indeed, I'm assuming Paul Yungenzo has a constituency. So does every single individual on this board. And when he stands up and prevents the board from functioning, he prevents the constituencies of at least 13 individuals from being represented properly. To say that it was a political move it kind of reflects on the credibility of the individual saying that. And anybody who looks at this video, and you go and look at it, and you will see what I mean, to what extent. It is incredibly extreme behavior that took place along about 5 different meetings. And like Bob Lederer just said, only on the 3rd meeting after that behavior started, did we decide that this has to be documented. So what you see is not the whole story. And what you see is enough to clearly indicate that it's not a political move. I agree that the suspension is substantial. I do believe, though, that it's commensurate to the offense. Patty just said that the majority did not act similarly when some of their members acted improperly. I personally did not see anything. There was one particular meeting where I will say I was not present at. However, there were allegations of behavior. This one was in plain view for everybody to see. And did receive warnings. When you stand up and you tell the chair to F you in her face and everybody else and many other similar languages, and you do that 5 times, I don't know how much warning, and he was asked to sit down repeatedly and to stop this behavior. And again, I'll repeat the point that Bob made, that the bylaws do specify that an individual can be suspended for 8 times, and I do believe that this is just about right. Thank you.
LaVarne, and then Michael, and let's then go to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is LaVarne Williams. First of all, I would like
First of all, is that I believe Ray made a comment about the veracity and the credibility of one of the directors who had spoken. So I think that Ray should issue an apology first, because the statement he said something about what it reflects on the credibility of the individual who made the statement. So to question the credibility of one of the directors, I think is out of order, and I think there should be an apology coming from Ray LaForest. Second, but let me finish my other point. I live in the Bay Area. There's a baseball player named Barry Bonds. The Chronicle has, like, gone after him on everything, and the whole steroid thing has been just totally out there. So baseball has responded. They've put in a code of conduct. You know, Barry Bonds, if they cannot damage Barry Bonds, they're going after his doctor. So this is like, again, the behavior by Mr. DiLorenzo, there's no excuse for it. But there has to be a code of conduct. There has to be order. This has to, as Wendy said, you know, we are spending hours on this. This has to cease and desist. And the simple way to do it is, like, time served. He's been out. Need to bring the young man back on. Everyone need to understand what the code of conduct is, because one of the directors has also, on my local board, has accosted me after a board meeting last year. And that was Saul Bandauer. And that these things, you know, we have
point of order. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is completely out of order. It has no bearing. No, it's not germane to the facts in this case. And I would ask LaVarne Williams to apologize for her accusations.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Finish,
okay.
LaVarne.
Okay, thank you. There's no apology forthcoming. For someone to come up to me at the board and get in my face.
Please don't answer that.
Here.
Just finish,
okay.
just finish your statement on the issue.
Okay, so the whole point is that there has not been a code of conduct, and to go in and to attempt to remove this person from his position is totally out of order, uncalled for. And if this is just, you know, this is ridiculous to spend this amount of time and to go over and over on this when it can be resolved here today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Michael, you're the last on the
list. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Mark. I had asked to get on the stack.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
And I would like to make a quick closing comment as well, if I may, Ambrose.
All right, we got to close this up. Okay.
Ambrose, am I next?
You're Michael?
Michael, yes, I am.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'll be very brief. I just want to say that everything that was done that eventually led up to the suspension of Paul DiRienzo was done with great care and with much patience. And I think the question here is whether, in fact, a local board who is confronted with the type of actions that Paul DiRienzo engaged in, that in fact served to prevent the board from operating and conducting business, whether in fact that board has a legal right to take action against that person. And I think that this didn't, the action that resulted in his suspension didn't occur as a result of one meeting. It occurred after several meetings in which in each meeting Paul DiRienzo was warned, and he created much disruption, not only verbal assaults against other board members, but against members of the audience. And I think this board has to acknowledge, or should acknowledge, and I'm asking you to acknowledge, that a signal has to be sent out that this type of activity is not going to be tolerated. And I think we are certainly within our rights, and I respectfully request that my fellow board members take this into consideration. You have seen the video, and it speaks for itself. So I would respectfully request that you all support the local board at WBAI and to preserve the integrity of the board itself, and also in an emblematic sense to preserve the integrity of other boards who might be confronted with a similar situation.
Mark and then Dave, thank you.
Point of information, Mr. Chair, this is Sarge.
Yes, sir.
I like keeping track of the time.
Yes, I am.
We have 10 minutes to go, don't worry.
Thank you.
No, you've got six minutes to go.
If you could put me on the stack.
You've got 6 minutes to go. Mark, Dave,
Okay, I think that when this comes before the PMV, the important thing to keep in mind is that we're not talking about a particular action that happened in BAI, nor are we talking about a particular individual, but rather we're talking about a sort of general policy which related to disciplinary actions taken by an LSB. And therefore, the question before us is not should this individual have been suspended or not, but what in general should be our guidelines or policies with respect to LSBs and their ability to police, so to speak, their membership and the conduct at their meetings. And so I'd like to take it that way as opposed to the individual's particulars. And having said that, I therefore would like to offer a substitute motion, and I do so because I do think that we need to put some limits on this, and I think 6 months is a bit much, although I don't believe that equals removal, but I think that it is excessive. So I would like to present the following motion. Whereas the Pacifica National Board recognizes the right of LSBs to discipline their members, and the PNB also recognizes the rights of individually elected members, we hereby state that no suspension may exceed 3 months from the date of said action.
Second.
Who seconded that?
Dave.
Dave seconded.
Very quickly, Mark, are you proposing that as a prospective rule and not retroactive?
No, I'm proposing it as a rule which would retroactive. So in effect, the suspension for this individual would be capped at 3 months from the date of the disciplinary action.
Okay, well, I would strongly oppose that. I wouldn't oppose a prospective application, but that retroactive application.
Do we all get to talk again?
No, we're not going to do that. Dave?
I guess I need to speak to the substitute. I will include in the quick comments about the main motion. In the discussion on the governance committee, one of the points that came up was that Robert's Rules does not allow a committee to discipline its members. So we also considered a motion that said that we think that that committees can. But at the time of the resolution of the WBI-LSB, they were relying on the fact that the bylaws say where the bylaws are silent, the Robert's Rules hold. And so there was a procedure for suspensions which was less stringent than the procedures for removal. But Roberts also say a committee, which the LSBs are of the PMB, cannot discipline its members. It was stated that the provision in the bylaws that gives LSBs the right of removal then implies a right for other discipline. But again, other people felt that the implication is also that it takes two-thirds to take such action. So there were, you know, there are a lot of different ways to split it. The reason I think that Mark's, whether we apply it retroactively or not, and I'll note that retroactivity was not part of the motion, I think that Mark's motion is important as we go forward because things are still unclear and we wouldn't want, I mean, the most important thing for me in this is the precedent that allows for long-term suspension. So I am in favor of the substitute motion, particularly as it sets it as a matter of principle and not as a matter of meddling with the WBI-LSB in one instance per se and taking sides in what could be construed as a political fight.
Point of clarification?
Yes.
Point of clarification?
Yes.
Paul DiRosenzio removed with two-thirds of the vote or just majority vote?
George. He was the majority.
Move, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is where I just wanted to point that he was not removed.
No.
He was suspended.
He was suspended.
He was suspended.
Suspended for 6 months by majority vote.
Yeah. Okay. Point of clarification, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mark, did you mean that it doesn't matter how egregious the act that the discipline would not allow more than 3 months suspension?
Well, I think for the
no, yes. Answer yes or no.
Yes.
I think that's a point of order.
Yes.
I think anything more than that would be, you know, removal procedures. I'm talking about suspension.
On that basis, I'll oppose it.
Let me hear your motion again, Mark. Your substitute.
Can I read it, Mark, so that
we need
it?
To change the part about disciplining members, since you just indicated. So
No.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
I can amend that if you like.
I have, whereas the PNB recognizes the right of LSBs to discipline their members, and whereas the PNB also recognizes the right of LSB members, what was the end of that?
Members.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. We hereby state that no suspension may exceed 3 months from the date of the suspension.
Does everybody clearly understand the motion?
I'm not, because I thought I heard Mark say that it was retroactive, and then I heard Dave say it wasn't.
Well, the motion doesn't speak one way or another about retroactive, so that would be something separate. I just think we should cap it at 3 months. You know, as a principle.
Well, then I would offer the amendment that it be retroactive in this case.
Is there a second?
I second that. This is
Fatty. Who is that?
This is Fatty.
Okay. Folks, are you ready to vote on the substitute motion as amended?
Actually, we haven't approved the amendment yet.
I know. Are you ready to vote on the amendment?
Do we have time for discussion, Mr. Chair, or no?
Well, we've already exceeded our time for this
item.
I'd like
to call the question.
Question's been called for. All those in favor of ending debate, you want to call the roll,
okay.
Rob?
Perhaps you could ask for unanimous consent.
Oh, whoever has it. Go ahead.
What are we calling the roll on? Wendy's amendment?
Wendy's amendment.
Retroactive discussion, right? Okay.
Point of information, is this a roll call on ending discussion
ending
or on the amendment?
Ending debate.
Well, perhaps you could ask for unanimous consent. Or
is there any objection to ending debate? Hearing none, let's go to the motion. Read it, Dave, so
we are voting on the amendment that the policy on suspensions proposed in the substitute amendment apply to the DiRienzo suspension retroactively.
All right. Call the roll.
Okay. Armudian?
Aye.
Adelson? Abstain. Rodriguez?
No.
Warren? Donna Warren?
No.
Okay. Fatty? Sella?
Yes.
Hold on a moment. LaVarne Williams? Sarah Randawa?
Nope.
No. Michael Tarif Warren?
No.
No. Ray LaForest?
No.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Patty Heffley?
Yes.
You don't vote. Mark Roberts?
No.
Okay, Zarina Shakir?
No.
Rob Robinson? Rob?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Wendy Schrell?
Yes.
Ngozi Kamau?
No.
Marty Derlin?
Yes.
And Steve Pierce?
Yes.
Okay, the vote is 1...
10, 7, and 1 abstention.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, yep, 7 yes, so the motion, the amendment fails.
Let's go to the motion, read the motion.
Okay, the motion to substitute is to substitute the following language, whereas the PNB recognizes the right of LSBs to discipline their members, and whereas the PNB also recognizes the rights of LSB members, resolved that no suspension may exceed 3 months from the date of the suspension.
I'd like to offer an amendment.
Yes?
That unless the actions are egregious.
Oh, come on. It's already...
I'm sorry. It's my turn.
Is there a second to the amendment?
I'll second it.
All right.
And get part of information.
And what's the definition of egregious?
That was my
point of order, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I believe once we close debate and move to a vote, are we not required to vote?
I'm sorry, you're right.
No, it gives you another chance
in order.
To discuss.
And could not that motion? Well, okay, that's all. So what's
all
the ruling?
Read the motion.
Are you ruling the amendment out of order?
That's correct.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me get that. Okay, so the motion to substitutes the language, whereas the PMB recognizes the right of LSBs to discipline their members, and whereas the PMB also recognizes the rights of LSB members, resolved that no suspension may exceed 3 months from the date of the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Question, so this completely replaces Patty's original motion, is that correct?
If
yep.
It passes.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Call the roll.
On the motion to substitute. Okay, Armudian.
Yes.
Adelson, yes. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Warren.
Pass.
Saba.
Yes.
Williams. Levant.
Pass.
Sarf.
Pass.
Michael Warren.
I didn't hear that.
Pass. Ray LaForest?
Yes.
Ray votes yes. Bob Lederer?
No.
Bob votes no. Patty Heffley?
No.
Patty votes no. Mark Roberts?
Yes.
Zarina Shakir?
Can I just say that I'm in the midst of doing some work?
It depends. Is that a yes, a no, an abstention, or a pass?
Yes.
Rob Robinson.
No.
Wendy Schrell.
No.
Ngozi Kamau.
I'm very sorry. Would you read the motion once again?
This is to substitute. So instead of voting on Patty's motion, we would instead vote on the motion that no suspension may exceed 3 months from the date of the suspension. And we voted down the amendment that it would apply retroactively.
So it doesn't apply to this particular thing.
Right, but no.
But in the future, it can't exceed 3 months.
From this point forward.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Okay, Marty Derlin?
No.
Steve Pierce?
Yes.
Okay. Did you count it already, Ambrose? I have 1, 2.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Hang on. Donna Warren?
I have 8 yes and.
Yes, so passes.
No.
Wait, we have to do the
four passes.
Yes, I'm coming back. Donna Warren, pass.
I pass, and now I vote no.
LaVarne Williams.
No.
Okay. Sarv Randhawa.
No.
Okay. Michael Warren.
No.
No. The motion to substitute fails.
Yep.
So now we go to Patty's motion.
The main motion.
Yeah, read the motion.
The main motion is that the PMB moves, that the WB, and I think it should say instead of moves, orders, that the PMB moves that the WBI LSB reinstate Paul D. Rienzo at its next.
There's an awful lot of noise in the background. Can someone?
Yep. Call the roll.
Okay.
Everybody understands the motion, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Hey, you guys, what was the count on that last motion?
The final count was
10-8.
Okay.
Call the motion.
Okay. Hang on. I'm going to copy the... Okay. Armudian.
Pass.
Adelson abstain. Rodriguez.
Abstain, or, yes.
Yes. Donna Warren.
No.
I'm sorry, you didn't sign as a yes, right?
Pardon me? Who's speaking?
Somebody. 6.
Call it again, Dave.
Or
Dave, would you start it again?
Start it all over again.
Okay. The motion, the main motion, that the PNV move that the WBAI LSB reinstate Paul DeRienzo at its next meeting. Armudian.
Pass.
Pass. Adelson abstain. Rodriguez.
Oh.
No. Donna Warren.
No.
Fadi Saba.
Yes.
Laverne Williams.
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa.
No.
Okay. Michael Warren.
No.
Ray LaForest.
No.
Okay. Bob Lederer.
No.
Patty Hepley.
Yes.
Mark Roberts.
No.
Serena Shakir. I'll come back. Rob Robinson.
No.
Wendy Schrell.
Yes, and it's obvious that the BILSB
and
doesn't have a
Kamau.
Anymore. Please, please, you want to
Josie
call board.
Kamau.
No.
No. Marty Derlin.
Yes.
And Steve Pierce.
No.
No. Coming back to Zarina Shakir.
No.
No. Coming back to Maria Armudian.
Abstain.
Okay. Motion fails.
Okay. 5 yes.
5 yes, and 11 no. All right, let's move the agenda, please.
The next item.
Before we dispose of this item, can I offer one other motion on this? One last.
Yeah, not on this item.
No.
Let's move the agenda to the Citizens' Bill of Rights.
And what's the next item, Mr. Chair?
Citizens' Bill of Rights.
What does that mean? Who's item?
First, before that, how much time?
20 minutes.
Okay.
Rob.
Some time ago, I sent to everyone a copy of a media, Citizens Media Bill of Rights, which is basically a document that tries to bring community media together around. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep talking.
It's basically a document that supports community media and the importance of community media providing community radio and television to folks across the country. It's very basic. It does not get us in trouble with the IRS. It does not require that we lobby for any specific legislation. But I think that it is an attempt to get community licensees as well as media advocacy groups together in the wake of what may be coming from the conservative movement that we see happening at CPB. And I sent everyone a copy of the actual bill. Again, it does not commit us to doing anything that is outside the Pacific Commission. It does not commit us to lobbying, which would endanger our 501c3 nonprofit tax exempt status. And that's why I suggested that this board endorse that media citizens bill of rights.
Okay, so the motion is that the board, that the PMB, endorse.
Yes. Simply that.
For unanimous consent on this.
I do, but there's too much in and out.
What is that noise in the background? It's 6, for God's sake. All right. Is there a...
May I clarify, is this called a Citizens' Bill of Rights or a Citizens' Bill of Media Rights?
I think it's called a Citizens' Media Bill of Rights.
I have it here. It says Bill of Media Rights.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I say. Citizens' Bill of Media Rights.
Okay, thank you.
Rob,
what's your
you
pleasure?
Would you like to send me another copy of that?
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
I haven't heard the motion.
The motion.
I heard it was clicking and stuff.
The motion is that the PMB endorsed the Citizens' Bill of Media Rights.
Oh.
All right, so moved and seconded. Let's have discussion.
Mr. Chair, it's Marty.
Yes.
I think this is the same Bill of Media Rights that's put before the conference that's taking place in St. Louis this week.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I have read it, and I endorse it, and I think it's a fine thing for Pacifica to endorse. And I
would
move unanimous approval.
Thank you, Marty.
The question.
Questions been called. Then, hearing no objections, it's adopted.
I
that was strange, Ambrose. Question is called.
No,
No, we have to vote to close the debate.
I didn't even hear about, is there any objection? Then hearing, and then you just said hearing no objection.
We just closed debate.
I know that.
Yeah.
But you said hearing no objection. You didn't even call for any objection. So how do people know speak up?
I'm sorry. I thought I did.
Okay. Sorry.
Are there any objections? This is the second time I've asked that. Hearing none, then there is no debate. Are you ready for the vote on the question?
Maybe
yeah.
Requesting
that. Then moved and seconded
that
we adopt this. Is there any objection to our adopting it?
There's just a point of information here, Mr. Chair.
All right.
Starve. Rob, would you be kind enough to send me that again? I lost it somewhere.
I think Bob sent it out today.
Yeah, I did.
Did? I haven't received it.
Yes, I will, sir.
We'll make sure you get another copy, sir.
If you could send me a copy, that would be appreciated.
Yeah,
thanks.
I'll do that.
Right away.
Okay, bye.
Hearing no objection, we adopted it. Let's move the agenda.
Well, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Who is going to report our action to Common Cause? Who's coordinating this?
I think the executive director ought to do it.
I move that Steve Pierce do it.
Well, I would say that Rob would do it, or I would do it.
And them both would be great.
Rob, do you want to do it?
Who am I speaking with? Yes.
Steve,
yeah, absolutely. Why don't we craft something that we can both send to Common Cause?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the ED's kind of got his table right now.
Wendy, you're out of order. Can we move the agenda, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's move the agenda.
CPB strategy for a contingency, Pacifica contingency budget.
Who put that on there?
That was on the last time. I don't know who is behind that.
That might be the CFO, huh?
Could have been me.
Hello?
Our ED?
It could have been me, Steve Pierce. I don't know. I don't remember having made a formal motion to put it on the agenda, but I think it should be on the agenda.
It was on the agenda last time. We just carried this over.
Well, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I'm wondering, I believe the CFO is not on this call, correct?
He was earlier.
No, he wasn't.
No, he is not.
No, he wasn't. Only the executive director was on.
Would it be possible to refer this matter to the National Finance Committee, who was meeting on the 10th, to begin?
Are you moving to do that?
Yes, I'd like
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to move this to the Finance Committee.
Is there any discussion?
Any discussion?
Point of order?
Yes.
What are we referring? We don't have a motion to refer. Just the whole issue?
The whole issue of CPB strategy for Pacifica contingency budget to the Finance Committee.
Well, I don't really fully understand what we're doing here.
We're asking the Finance Committee to advise the board as to a contingency budget for CPB strategy.
I think it's greater than that.
Well, then, talk to us.
Well, I think there's two things. I think we should have a contingency budget. We should have a budget that includes the CPB money. And we should have a budget that doesn't include the CPB money. But I think we also should have a strategy where we're engaging in this. And I believe that we should try to produce some programming that challenges the notion of objectivity and balance. I think we should refer it to McCarthyism. We should put it into a historical perspective. It's not just a budget issue. I think it's a strategic issue for the foundation.
Mr. Chair, has the motion been made and seconded?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
For the record, Ambrose?
Yes.
Could we read what it is or tell the... I mean, there's people listening to this call who will be referring back to it in the weeks and months to come. Can we kind of talk about what we're talking about?
Go right ahead.
Mr. Chair, I could address it.
Yes, Marty.
As I think everybody knows on this call, and hopefully many people listening... CPB leadership has changed, the CPB board of directors is changing, and the safeguards that were put in place to protect the CPB from political sway are in jeopardy. And in particular, there's a big move by the right to influence what kind of news and information goes out over public broadcasting under the guise of a fairness and balance criteria for news and information. And I think Steve's point is well taken, and that Dan spoke eloquently to this, as did Amy Goodman at the National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference. And I know there's some material from Dan's speech and certainly Amy's that we could use, and I think Steve is right. I'm not sure what committee or what group to refer this to, but I think it would be, I think Pacifica should speak out against it, and I think that that would provide some leadership in the community radio world as well.
Ambrose, so, Mark, yeah. I'd like to speak also. When
I'd like to be on the stack, too.
Okay.
Sarv.
Mark, sorry.
Sarv, you want to?
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
Rob would like to speak, too.
All right.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Sarv.
Yes.
As I see it, there are two questions here. One is the impact of withdrawal of the CPB money, the funds that Pacifica receives. That's one element. Whatever the cause of that is. The other one is the climate, the political climate that's being generated in this country by the government that's affecting the expression of independent ideas. And
could somebody please get your number six? Thank you.
So there are two different elements of it. One element is that strict budgetary type, and I think that element should be referred to the Finance Committee because they can look at the impact if the CPB money is withdrawn, how do we meet, and what contingency funds we have or we have to generate to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the political and idea discussion, and I think that rightfully belongs in the full PNB meetings. So I think Steve is right, but the financial impact part of it should be referred to the Finance Committee.
Point of information?
Thank you.
Yes.
To Steve, what is the time frame by which this needs to be addressed?
Well, I mean, I emailed out a local article where the local PBS station here in Albany has decided to create a 5-year strategic plan to eliminate federal funding from its budget. And I think that we need to do something similar, but I don't think we should have a plan to eliminate the funding from our budget. I think we deserve the funding.
Mm-hmm.
It's public money. We should have it. We should spend it. But what we need to do is create an advocacy plan to make the argument that this is taxpayer money that's rightfully used to further debate in this country. I don't think we need to go through the details of it at the PMB level. Hopefully the staff, you know, can implement this. And then what we're really talking about is, and a couple of people have said this, it's a two-pronged strategy. One, protect ourselves. Have a contingency plan because we will be attacked. And when we're attacked, we don't want to start thinking about what we're going to do while the money is gone.
Right.
Contingency plan has to include what are we going to do if the money is removed and how are we going to fund the legal fight to get it back. That's one thing. And two, let's not wait. Let's go on the offensive now.
Mike, my question regards imminence. How soon do you think these policies would be invoked to basically level that attack? How much time do we have?
It's in play now.
It's going to happen in the fall, David.
Thank you.
I think it's happening now.